Amen. As I said, we are looking backward, but we also want to be looking forward. I did that last week when I challenged you from Romans 12:1 that we present ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice and God's call to a deeper commitment. And that I believe, and I really do, it's what drives me. I have decided, and it's kind of strange that like the church and like the Lord, I'm like a shark. Now, that doesn't mean I want to devour people or eat, but there's something you may not know about a shark. What do you know about a shark if a shark stops moving? It'll die. A shark actually has to keep moving in order to force water through its gills or through what it breathes in. And I'm kind of like that. And the church is like that in the sense that when we stop moving forward, we have begun the process of dying. And the sad thing, reality for me, is that so many of our churches are going backwards. They're dying. And so this morning I really struggle with, well, Lord, you know, we had a good year last year. For me personally, it was a tough year. For other people, a tough year. But for some, it was a good year. And He led me to the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And through this, He wants to say to us that I want to give you a fresh start. One of the wonderful things about a new year, about especially January every year, other than the cold weather, is that it's kind of a time when we can say, okay, I'm going to make some resolutions, or I'm going to make some changes, or a fresh start. And God this morning wants to share with us that He wants to give us a fresh start. To say to us through this passage that I have the opportunity to show you who I am and that I do want to do something new in you and through you. And that's really what it's all about. Now, through this fresh start with a new year, with what God's going to share through His Word, there's some things you and I can experience if we want a fresh start as a church, as an individual, maybe as a family, and that is a fresh touch from the Lord. I like a fresh touch from the Lord. Sometimes being Christian can be difficult, and being a pastor can be difficult, and you can get down, and you can get depressed, and it can be hard. And you get so wrapped up in what you're doing that you become stale. You get in a rut. Anybody know what a rut is? A rut's nothing but a coffin with both ends kicked out. Think about that a moment. That's all a rut is. A rut's just a coffin with both ends kicked out. But we get a fresh touch of God's love. We have the opportunity this morning to have a fresh touch of God's power. And we have an opportunity in the next year to have a fresh look at what God wants to do in our lives in 2017. I hope that we won't come at the end of 2017, or maybe it's 2018, and we'll do our year in review, and as we look at it, we'll go, yeah, that's what we did last year. You see, I believe God wants to do something new in you and in me, and we have that today. And that's what He was telling the Hebrew people here in the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. They were really down. I don't know where you are today, but they were down. They were hurting. They were in bondage. They had so disappointed the Lord that He had destroyed their holy and allowed the Babylonians. It was the hand of God that did it. He had sent Nebuchadnezzar to destroy their holy city. All of their hope was lost. They're in bondage. They're going to be in that bondage for 70 years. And God breaks through. And if there ever was a time in this country, I admire the Women's March yesterday. I don't admire everything they did or this and that, but I admire the fact that people will gather and will share. But folks, this country is deeply, deeply divided over a number of things. It's not just a Democrat and Republican thing, but they're divided. And we need to come together. But we don't need to come together under the president. That's fine if you want to say that. No president has unified us yet. No president will. No governmental leader will. No Congress will. Nothing else will. But Christ can. And God can. So this morning, let's hear what the Lord says. During the midst of their despair, God says, I want to do something new. And that's what He wants to say to you this morning. I want to do something new in your life. It doesn't matter. You may say, look, I'm too old for anything new. No, you're not. I read just a few weeks ago in the Biblical Recorder, our state Baptist paper, that we've got a missionary. He's in his 80s. Somebody asked him when he was going to retire. I love what he said. He said, when the devil does. You know, I like that. We're never too old to receive a fresh touch. Listen to three things that God shares with the hopeless people that He's sharing with us today. And first of all, I'm going to read 15 through 21, and then we're going to come back and break it down. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse and the army and the mighty man. They have been quenched, extinguished like a wick. Do not call to mind former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, he says to them and says to us today, I'm about to do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I've given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink, to give sustenance, to give hope to my chosen people, is what he's saying here. The people who I've formed for myself will declare my praise. Folks, I believe it. It's what keeps me going. I believe that God wants to do some new things through us this year. I do. In fact, if and when you decide that, no, I kind of like the way we're doing things and we're just going to leave it where it is and just let it stay, I hope that you'll do me a favor and tell me that. I do, individually or corporately, because that's going to be the day I tell you that I'm through. Because you see, I don't believe that God's calling us to stand still. I believe God wants to do something new in my life and new in your life. And so this morning we need to hear this. Regardless of where you are, we need to know that God is still sovereign. Our country is in a mess. It's not in a mess because Donald Trump was elected or Hillary lost or anything. It's in a spiritual mess. It is in a moral mess. It's in a mess. And we are inching more and more toward the end. And it would be enough to depress us, except God says, I am the Lord. We need to understand this. Regardless of how you look at society, things are good, things are bad, they're about the same. God is still in control, and we need to hear that this morning. We need to hear that. God is in control. I am here. Regardless of where you are or what you're facing. He said in verses 1 and 2 of this same chapter, but thus says, O the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who has formed you, O Israel, do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by thy name, you are mine. Listen to what God says in verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor the flame burn you. God says, I'm in control. I'm in control of your life, if you'll let Him. He's in control of my life if I let Him. And as I let Him, God says, I want to do something new. So this morning, what I want us to do is to re-examine. I want us to, He says to us in verse 18, change your focus. He says, don't call to mind the former things. Let me tell you what drives me crazy about churches. And I've been doing this a long time. I was in the church 9 months before I got here. Some of you will figure that out one of these days, okay? 9 months before I ever got to church, I was in church. Is that when we spend our time as churches and as Christians living life in the rearview mirror? Any of you know what a rearview mirror is for? What's it for? To help you do what? Back rearview mirror. Is to help you mainly when you back up, hopefully. That or the side mirrors. Have you ever tried driving through the rearview mirror? That's kind of tough, isn't it? Life is not lived through the rearview mirror. And what he is saying to the Israelites and what he's saying to us is don't call to mind the former things. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that as a church that we're to just forget everything we've ever done that's good and let it go? Or what does that mean to me as an individual? Let me tell you what it means to you as an individual. If for Rose and I, 2016 was a tough year. It was. A lot of loss, a lot of death, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. There were some good things. At the end of the year, our son finally broke down and decided to marry Ellen, and we're so excited about that. But it was a tough year, and I could spend this year going, man, I sure hope it's not like next year. Or it sure was bad. What God is saying is don't call to mind the former things. He's saying change your focus. I want you to hear this. Regardless of your life, your past is your past. Don't be bound by your past. Don't be seduced by the past. Oh, it was a great year. It was a great year. Man, if this year's as good as that, don't be bound by the success of the past and don't be bound by the failures of the past. I run into people all the time and they go, this happened in my life or this happened and I just can't get over it. God is saying, don't let your sorrows bind you. Don't let your failures. You may look back at this past year and say, I didn't do real well. My walk with the Lord in 2016 is not what I wanted it to be. In 2017, I imagine it's good. No, God is saying, I'm doing something new. I'm going to do something new in your life. I don't know about you. Now, ladies, I know you. I know ladies. I've been married to one a while, okay? I had a mother. Ladies like new stuff, don't they? Ladies, y'all like new stuff? If your husband comes in with something new, that's pretty good, isn't it? Or your boyfriend or your children come in with something new. You like new stuff. God says, I want to do something new in your life. I like new stuff. I do. God says, change your focus. I want to do something. Listen to what he says. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth and you will not be aware of it. Folks, when it comes to you as an individual and us as a church, God wants to do some things here we can't imagine. He does. He does. God wants to do more in us and through us to touch this community. Because if all we're going to do is gather here on Sunday for a short time and on Wednesday for a short time and we're just going to entertain or educate ourselves and never reach out to that community, never be a part of the community, which is not Holloway's. We are a part of the community. God wants to do something new. I want you to hear that this morning, that don't let your failures or your successes. Now listen to what he says. Now, this is what I like. I want you to look at the end of verse 19. I will make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers or streams in the desert. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty difficult to do. Now, what does God mean by that? He says, there is no obstacle I cannot overcome in your life. You may say, I'm too old. Some of our young people say, I'm too young. As Paul said to Timothy, let no one look down on your youth. You may say, I'm a woman, I can't do that. Or I'm a man, I don't have the education, I don't have the skill. God is saying to you as an individual, anything I call you to do, that new thing that I want you to do, that I want to do in you first, and then I want to do through you, don't you worry about doing it yourself. You see, folks, God's not interested in you doing for Him. He's interested in doing in and through you. And he says, nothing can stop me. He says, I'm the sovereign Lord. I can even make a roadway in the wilderness. I can make a way. I want you to hear that this morning. Your God is saying to you, I can make a way where there seems to be no way. Do you hear that this morning? Do you hear God saying to you, I want to do something new in you? I'm the Lord. I'm sovereign. I'm in charge. I want to do something new in you. And there's nothing that can stop me from doing it. Except one thing. You. You see, as God wants to do something new in you, the problem is some of us are comfortable or we're afraid. God says it doesn't matter. I can even make streams in the desert. And what? And at the end of verse 20, he says, to provide for, to give drink for, to provide for my chosen people. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. Folks, as God wants to do something new in you and through you and some new things in this church and through this church, I want to tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take great faith. It's going to take great faith. Now, where am I going with all this? Well, God is going. I'm not going anywhere. God is saying you can either believe that I want to do something new or you can reject that I want to do something new. I believe God wants to do something new. And in fact, on Sunday night, February the 12th, I'm going to ask you to join me down in the fellowship hall. And it's the night after the steak supper. We may even eat something. And I want you to come and do something I talked about, I think, maybe in the first year when I was here, and we never did it, and we should have. And that is, I want you to come share with me your dream for Holloways. You know, I talk to some of you from time to time, and you say, you know, I'd love to see us do this. Or I'd love to see us do this. Or I'd love to, you know, I'd love to see us maybe think about this. And then there are a couple of, but I don't think we can do that. I don't know that we can. What's the one we usually hear when we dream, when God gives us a big dream? What do we hear? We can't afford that. We can't afford that. I know some of you have a dream. You have a dream about the ministry here. You have a dream about the facilities here. You have a dream about touching our community in different ways. I want you to come and share that. And here's what we're going to do that night. We're going to sit around and we're going to share. Not what God's doing now. What does God want to do? I want you to ask yourself. I want you to come and join me. If you don't show up that night, I'm going to tell you what you're telling me. I'm not interested in God doing something new. Well, I have plans that night. Well, I got news for you. Change them. Unless you're planning on having surgery or something else, change them. And be here and share your heart. If not, I don't want to hear it. I'm going to come and I'm going to share with you some things that are going to blow, that I really believe God wants us to do, that I've held back. And you go, why don't you share them? Because I'm just one person. I'm going to share some dreams I believe God has for Holloways that'll blow your mind. Because I think God wants to do something new in us and through us. And that's why he led me to this passage today. I want you to know that I wrestled as hard with this message as any message I've wrestled with in the last 25 years. Because I really didn't want to come share it. And you know why I didn't want to come share it? Because I really believe, and I'm sorry I believe this, that some of you don't want to hear it. You're comfortable. As I shared with you last week, and I'll share with you in closing, I believe that in some ways, here at Holloways, we're losing our passion for ministry. And folks, God wants to do something new. He wants to do something new in our Sunday school. I'm going to share you some things there. He wants to do some things in our worship that are new. It'll bring us closer to him. Now, let me tell you what I'm not interested in. I'm not interested in negative Nancy and negative John, okay? When we come together on the 12th, and Rose and I may be the only ones here, a few of you here, and somebody's, I'm going to ask you to share your heart. And when you do, if you make the mistake and I hear it, we're going to fight. And I'm a tough little booger, okay? David looked at Goliath and said, I'm not worried about how big he is. He's too big to miss, okay? And that is, we're not going to say a couple of things. We've already tried that. Aren't you glad that Thomas Edison decided not to give up on the light bulb? Because we can see. Aren't you glad that whoever came up with air conditioning and heat in the house did that other than the fire? So we're not going to accept that. I'm not going to let you say that night. We've already tried that. We tried that before. We talked about that before. Good. It wasn't God's time. It's God's time now. God wants to do something new. The other is, we can't afford that. We can't afford that. We can't afford that. I want you, if you get the chance, take the opportunity to see when God decides something new, get on the internet and look up Lee Park Baptist Church in Monroe, North Carolina. Lee Park Baptist Church used to be Morgan Mill Road Baptist Church, and they have just getting ready to finish the Morgan Mill Road. They finished the Morgan Mill Road Chapel. Morgan Mill Road Baptist Church was about the size of Holloway's and about the same type setting Holloway's was. And God sent me there, and He gave me a vision for that church that I would not complete. And so that little bitty church made a decision that we needed more space to do more ministry. Not because we wanted more space to play around, to do more. So we did. We built a 15,000 square foot family life center. Church with no more money than this church. In fact, we have less money than y'all do. We didn't have enough to put any money down. But I want you to look at Lee Park, because after I left there, they went through a bit of a time, but God had laid a vision in me and a vision in those people. Lee Park merged, which was a dying church, and Morgan Mill, which was a struggling church, merged, and they are now one of North Carolina's fastest growing and most dynamic churches. I'm not the pastor there. You want to know why? God just had me plant the seed, and He did the watering and the work. And the reason I want you to look at it is not because I think we're going to be some 3,000. I hope we'll become a 10,000 member church. I hope everybody rides down, you know. I don't want to be a part of that church that big. Good, go find another one. Well, this is my church. No, it's not. It's Jesus's. That's not it. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying God planted in my heart and in the hearts of the people. And I told the people, let's have a dream night. We had a dream night. And we began to dream. And they're still dreaming. They're getting ready to finish an 1,800-seat sanctuary. Why? Well, I don't want to be. It's not what you want. It's not what I wanted. That wasn't my vision. God just said, I'm going to do something special here. And I believe He wants to do something special here. You see, God is looking right now for some people and some churches who want to do some things that when they start them and when they finish them, a waiting and watching world won't go, well, look what Holloway's did. Look what Dana did. Look what the deacons did. Look what we did. It'll be, look what I did. He's saying, I want to do something new. I'm the sovereign Lord, and there's no obstacle I can't overcome. I want you to hear that. There is no obstacle. If God says He's going to do it, it's going to get done if His people are willing to do it. You know the sadness of the end of this story? Some of the Hebrews didn't believe it. And they continued to live in Babylon till the day they died and they were buried there. But there were others who did. And they returned to Israel when the opportunity came. And they took the new thing and they struggled and they, to this day. One of the things you need to know about the nation Israel is God was projecting forward. Israel is now one of the largest, though Israel is only 50 miles wide. I want you to imagine this now. And it's not even that big anymore because of the encroachment of the West Bank folks, the Palestinians. It's only 50 miles wide and 150 miles long. That's all the nation Israel is. They are the top producer of produce and vegetables in what really is a very arid country. Why? Because God made streams in the desert. Folks, God wants to do something new here. I believe that. And I'm sincere. If that's not what you're ready for or not what you want, please tell me so I can ask God to show me what He wants me to do somewhere else. Now, I'm not threatening you. Don't hear that. I just want to be kind of like that shark. I want to keep moving forward for the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this time. Lord, thank You for a difficult message. I know that You're the sovereign Lord. I know that You want to do something new. And I know that there are people here that have dreams and they're scared to talk about them because somebody's already told them it couldn't happen. You told some people at Morgan Mill, Lord, that they would never be a big church. You told them when they talked about merging with Lee Park, two small churches, that they'd never make a difference. They would fail. But they believed in you, and Lord, I believe in you. Not that I want you to do that. That's not what you're saying here. But what you're saying is, I want to do something new. I want to do something new in your life. I want you as individuals to know that I haven't given up on you, that I still can work through you and in you, and I can heal your family. I can heal your body. I can heal. I can touch your life in a fresh new way. And I want to do that. Lord, do that. Even so, Lord, do that today. Amen. Brian is here because Ruth is doing handbells. Again, we are a little ahead of time. That doesn't make any difference. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation. Let me invite you again at the end of service. You'll have to come quickly because Russell's going to be coming for the business meeting time to come and tie knots here and pray over this. This is a wonderful ministry. It really is. My brother Doug, who is still dealing with cancer himself, not many weeks go by, and Doug's not in the church. He doesn't have a church home. That he doesn't talk about the people of Morgan Mill and what you did through this blanket. So don't forget that. Brian, come and lead us, brother. Holloway's, that's right. Did I say Morgan Mill? I moved. I'm here.